Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Will you go to heaven when you die? As we bring this sermon series to a close, I hope you will consider the many infallible proof texts that support the conclusion of this sermon. There is no man or woman has ever ascended to the third heaven, nor will ever ascend to the third heaven. This may be a hard concept to wrap your head around, since so many have been taught that the saved child of God goes to heaven when they die, but that claim has never been supported by the Word of God. There are so many infallible proofs from the Bible that support the claim that we will not see Jesus until He returns to the clouds, which is in the first heaven. He will hold court there in the clouds and then descend to the earth with His army of saints at the end of the great tribulation period to defeat the Antichrist's army at the Battle of Armageddon. He will then set up His earthly kingdom for 1,000 years, known as the millennial reign of Christ. Never are the saints found in the third heaven with Jesus and the Heavenly Father. So the passage that my sermon is centered upon, John 3:13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, is undeniably true today, just as it was true when Jesus said it, and as true as when the Apostle John penned it. Please glean these precious truths as the sermon resumes. Where are the deceased saints? Part 7. The dead must be risen first before they enter the presence of the Lord. And Job 19:26 confirms this. Job said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, that means that death, the body decays and goes to the grave, yet in my flesh, resurrected flesh, immortal flesh, shall I see God. And that is still future for Job just as much as it is for all the dead in Christ. Those who saints, Old Testament, New Testament saints, that's still future for all of us. That's why we're told to be watching and waiting and being prepared and being ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Affirmative revelation also establishes this truth. The resurrection of the body is a fact absolutely carnal to the Christian faith. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Hence, atonement has never been made. Death still reigns. The curse clings to the dead forever. But Christ is risen, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, the Holy Spirit, from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hear me out. Let me say that again. He that raised up Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, and if you read throughout Scripture, Christ rose himself from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and the Father raised, God the Father raised Christ from the dead. 3 in 1. He that raised Christ up from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Notice, bodies, mortal bodies, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is still a future event. There in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Obviously, this has not happened yet. For a naked soul, judicially disembodied, to enter the presence of God on high would be to approach him in the shrouds of the curse. For the body has been redeemed. Glorified human spirits or souls are unknown to the Word of God. Glorified human persons, body, soul, and spirit, are to be the perfect fruit of redemption. And when the scriptures say, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, that means under the earth in paradise. This is a passage of the saints after the pre-tribulation rapture. Those who die in the tribulation, there are multitudes who die. Many die in Christ during the tribulation period. And it says that under the altar, as I said before, under the earth in paradise, the earth is the altar where God's lambs have been sacrificed. The souls, disembodied and naked, of them that were slain. Okay? I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Not the bodies, it's the soul of them that were slain for the word of God. They were martyred and after the rapture, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, Doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest in paradise. The kingdom hasn't been established yet. The kingdom rest hasn't been established. So they're resting in paradise until the rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, Revelation chapter 14. And I've preached a sermon. There are seven raptures mentioned in the book of Revelation. Not that they're all distinctly different, but you have John being called up after the church age at the beginning of chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, speaking of the pre-tribulation rapture. You have the two witnesses. We witnessed them being raptured in the earth after being dead and not buried, laying on the ground for 3 days. We also witnessed 144,000 Jewish witnesses on the earth. We are introduced to them in Revelation chapter 7, and by Revelation chapter 14, they are raptured out of the earth, and then we see other raptures in Revelation 14, and that is the saints that will be raptured out mid-trib, approximately mid-trib, there in the scriptures. So redemption of the body must be completed for the adoption to be completed. Redemption of the body must be completed for the adoption to be completed. The scriptures say in Romans chapter 8, again, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit means namely, the redemption of our soul. Does it say that in the scripture? No. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 and verse 23 says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of the body, that's when the body will be called out of the grave. That where the worms, we learn, and the body has decayed in the grave, and it will come out of the grave. The saints' redemption doesn't come to fruition until Christ returns. Listen to that again. The saints' redemption doesn't come to fruition until Christ returns. Again, looking in the scriptures, Luke 21. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought I was redeemed when I got saved, when I first believed. No, this is talking about the full redemption of body, soul, and spirit. When Christ returns, look up, lift up your heads. The redemption doesn't come when we die, but when Christ returns. Redemption is the resurrection and glorification of the body that was originally cursed and died, but in Christ it is redeemed to a glorified and immortal vessel. The key phrase is look up and lift up. Look up and lift up, never once alluding to look down. This holds true in death just as much as it is true in life. 1 Thessalonians tells us, chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man is a triune being. We have three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And that is important to know. And look what it says there, Paul is saying there to the church in Thessalonica. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Not justify, sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 20, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the Savior, speaking of the second coming, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Our vile body is still vile when we die, and it's in the grave, and it's decaying. It's a vile body. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Earth is one vast field sown with the dead. Out of it, like the rising Lord, will soon burst the waving harvest of resurrection. In one grandiose event will all the bodies come up out of the graves and rise into the clouds in the twinkling of an eye, at the shout of the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and these bodies will come out. One fabulous event, and that is still future. That is the next prophetic event to appear on the world stage by the Lord, and that will be a glorious event. And it says in Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. That means Jesus comes in the clouds. The eyes that will see him are the saints that are raptured. And then when he descends from the clouds with his army of saints, then the world will see him. And the Jews that pierced him will also see him. And behold, I come quickly, Revelation 22, verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly. Quickly means not immediately, it means suddenly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. We're not rewarded when we die. And those who say that the dead go to heaven and they receive their reward when they die, no. It's when he comes back. That's still future. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. This includes the building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the glorification of the body. Let me read to you a quote from Joseph Ellison. Like the steam locomotive on its two steel tracks, so our thoughts must run along the appointed track. If we are to reach the terminus of truth in safety, alignment of truth is imperative both for the inworking of our salvation and the outworking of it in the future. And this is the alignment we follow. The first advent of Christ into the world is the gateway into salvation or eternal life. His second advent is the gateway into glory, the kingdom. The former is the controlling factor of grace. The latter is the governing factor of our expectation, which is to be consummated by a mighty collective movement upward on the part of all saints and of all dispensations up to that time. It is therefore an axiom of Christian doctrine that there is an interval of time lying between the Christian's death and the coming of the Lord to receive him up unto himself. That quote is by Joseph Ellison. Powerful quote. The first advent of Christ into this world is the gateway into salvation. His second advent is the gateway into glory. You may say, did not Elijah ascend to heaven and Enoch ascend to heaven? How then could it be said, none but the Son of Man ever ascended? We must understand then that the heaven to which Enoch and Elijah are gone up is not the heaven of heavens, the abode of Christ. And we know that there are several heavens. Moreover, neither of them have come down from heaven. So Enoch and Elijah were translated out of the earth. A chariot of fire came up and grabbed Elijah and took him up to heaven. But it doesn't say he went up to the third heaven. It just said he went up to heaven, and he sure didn't come down from heaven. A vision Paul saw many years earlier. Paul makes no attempt to correlate this to the death of all saints. Paul had a vision in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said it occurred many years earlier in his life. But he makes no attempt to correlate this to the death of all saints. Listen to what he said. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So he couldn't utter this paradise. This is another paradise. There's the twofoldness of divine truth. Just like there's two Jerusalems, there's a heavenly Jerusalem and there's an earthly Jerusalem. There's an earthly paradise and a heavenly paradise. Heaven is a paradise. The third heaven is a paradise. And he saw this man. Now, this man in Christ, could he have been an angel? When Paul writes, when John the Revelator writes to the angel of the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the seven churches of Asia Minor, says, write unto the angel of the church. Well, how can John write to an angel? How can he address a letter to an angel? No, he's writing to the pastor of the church. So sometimes an angel is referred to as a man. So I knew a man in Christ. Could that be an angel? But he doesn't relate that to every saint. And this was a vision, and it occurred 14 years ago. But he gives us an indication that there are three heavens.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.